stood here, I was about, I don't know, 10, 12, maybe 13. My legs was about to buckle. I was nervous. Ain't much changed. I'm just a little bit older. I'm still just as nervous. Trust me, this ain't never easy. It's been something I've put together for quite a while. And when I walked in the back, I told Michaela, I said, I was studying and I told her I got three sermons. I don't know what's going to happen. My granddaddy says, take all three. If you don't know which one you're going to preach, put all three of them together and make something work. And so I was really digging in on this one. And as I was sitting there last night studying, I'd done some work in the yard about like you did. I was out cutting grass, doing some things and thinking. And I think this is where God has us to go. When I walked in, Jamie said, the monitors went out this morning. He said, it's been a battle. And that let me know right where we needed to be. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 2. I'm going to bounce around. I'm going to throw a lot of scripture at you. So just hang with me. They say there's a fine line between a long message and a hostage situation. I'll try to get you out of here real quick. I'll be real fast and try to talk where you can understand. Mark chapter 2. If you got your Bible, if you will, please stand. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. Let's jump on down to, let's go to verse 3. And they come unto him, bringing him one sick of a palsy, which were born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of a palsy lay. Verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of a palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. God, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to stand here, God, 10, 15 years down the road, God. But God, may I remind you that I'm nobody. You empty me of myself. Fill me up of the Holy Ghost. And God, if anything happens here tonight, it'll be all because of you. And we'll be sure to give you glory in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So just to catch you up, I'm going to go from Mark 1 to... We're going to go from Mark 1 to chapter 10. I ain't reading all of it, don't worry. But in Mark 1, we see Jesus came to Capernaum, and there was miracles that were quickly happening. Jesus was in the synagogue, and chapter 1, you follow it back, a demonic man says, hey, I know who you are. The demon trembled at the very presence of Jesus straight out the gate. My tablet's trying to jump around on me. Straight out the gate, they was astonished at Jesus performing these miracles. Jesus called that demonic spirit out. And when Jesus walked in the room, the spirit knew automatically. And so many times in our life, or at least my life, we let Satan have such a chokehold on us. And we don't realize that they can't do anything without the power of God releasing it. So I want you to see very quickly, we're moving on. Simon's mother-in-law got a touch from the master. Many other possessed people were healed immediately, and they encountered Jesus. Why? Because there was a power that was within Jesus. The devil knew he could not do anything against God's will. When we saw Jesus moving through the region all throughout Galilee, Jesus encountered a leper in verse 40. It says he kneeled down at him. Who is him? It is Jesus. He had compassion and healed the man. When in that time, he wasn't even supposed to be around those people. I'm sure if you asked the leopard man, hey, what about Jesus? He'd tell you, there ain't nobody like him. Amen. That's the title of the message, there ain't nobody like him. Amen. You can go all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It don't matter where you go. It's all good. But I want to reel in on the palsy man very quickly. So just to catch you up, it says there was some noise in the house. Why was there noise? Because some people had done experience. Jesus had done some things in their life. It would do us good to take a trip back down memory lane. I hadn't been here in 10 years, but I'm sure it's still just the same. It would do us good to go back down memory lane. You know why? Because the same God that touched me on these altars, we just forget about it. We're so forgetful. We overlook God so many times. Why? Because we don't understand the power within. I got to get all these things out of my pocket or I'll be done threw them all out of my pocket. And we have become comfortable and okay in our decisions, and yet we're sitting here, we're sad, we're drowning. What would happen? Everybody says, don't look back. Everybody says, don't look back. But somewhere along the way, we've missed something. Somewhere along the way, Christianity has slid off the track. Somewhere along the way, we have missed some things. Why? Because we have forgot what Jesus can do. I want you to see something. When they started to tear things off, roofs in those days, what was they made out of? Clay. What are some things that is holding you back from what God spiritually has for you? Why? Because you done put things in the way. I know I got some boys here that I mentor, and you can ask them. I get on them all the time. Don't let nothing get between you and God. Amen. Why? Because it starts to compact. And the more you get on you, the more you can't get off. And it's about a palsy, yes, but I want you to see, if they did not tear those things off, if they said, man, come on, we just going to go to the house. We can't get in. Come on. There ain't no room. They would have never got what God had for them. Amen. You here tonight, and I don't know everybody's need in here, but I know 90% of you. And we sit in here tonight, and you say, well, that's for the next person, or that's for the person beside you. Search within tonight. Because I'm telling you, it took me a long time, and I'm not saying that I know everything. But this message was for tonight. I do know that. Satan is very good at what he does. He knows if he can get you off your path. Hey, sir. Hey, ma'am. It's time that we straighten our backs and say, you know what? I'm going to live for God and nothing else matters. Amen. Why? Because we have to draw a line somewhere. But when Jesus came on the scene, I'm sure if you asked the palsy man, what about Jesus? Wasn't you that guy that they tore the roof off? Wasn't you that guy that got lowered in? He said, man, there ain't nobody like him. Amen. I want you to see in Mark chapter 5, in verse 2. And when he was come out of the ship, who was he? Jesus. Immediately there met a man of him out of the tomb with unclean spirit. We'll jump down to verse 7 and 8. And when he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I do to thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So many times, this is a hard one for us. So many times we try to worry about the demonic man and say, well, man, he was out there. Well, I'm sure if we took a light and put it on your life tonight, we would find some things at your life. We would find some things that you don't want nobody to know, but the demonic man, he got so far out there, he was just no help. I come by tonight to offer a little help. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. Jesus can do for you what no one else can do for you. And so many times back in Israel, I went to Israel 10 days before the attack happened in 2024. I stood in this very place where this story took place, and it made my Bible come to life, if you will. And so many times we want to say, well, the demonic man ran to Jesus, and he did. But if you was to break down just a little bit before, when Jesus told him, let's go to the other side. Why? Because he knew there was something over there. That's right. And so many times, what blows my mind is we're bound by things that we don't want to tell anybody about. So many times we want to say, well, it's drinking, it's pornography, it's all this. How about this one? This is a big one for us to swallow. How about pride? How about pride? How about jealousy? How about lust? How about greed? How about affairs? So many times we want to be concerned about the demonic man that we don't even think to look in our own lives. I don't know what the devil has told you, but sin has a way of breaking us down, and if we're not careful, we will end up just like this man. Sin will destroy you. You will be just like this man. No friends, no family, no one to come around. May we rise up from sin, run from a worldly crowd, run from drugs, run from alcohol. For every marriage in here, there's that little girl that's down on the job site that's flirting with you. It's going to be fun for a while, but the devil does not show you the after effect. The devil does not show you. I'm sure if we was to study out this demonic man, if we look before, something started it.
That's right. That's right.
If you study the scripture, the demons that was in the man was around 2,000 demons. You see, so many times, this is my problem. So many times I want to fix things on my own. So many times I want to do it myself. I'm a man's man. But you got to realize, as long as your hand's on it, there's nothing you can do. When you get your hands off of it, God will begin to do a work in you. Jesus walked up on the scene. Boom, shakalaka, everything changed right then. I'm sure, if we could go back in time and run into that man just shortly after that happened, you can read it on down. And you can say, hey, man, wasn't you that madman running around in the tomb? Wasn't that you that was cutting yourself? Wasn't that you that didn't have any friends? Wasn't that you? He'd say, yeah, that was me. Yeah.
That's right.
But when I ran into Jesus, there ain't nobody like him. In Psalms, David tells us, I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. It's time for us to get our eyes off of the problems and get our eyes on Jesus. I don't know what you came in here carrying. Satan has told you there's no way out. But there.
That's right.
Satan, I wish I could drop kick that joker sometimes. I wish I could just go up to him and drop kick him. But the demonic man, it don't tell us how old he is. It don't tell us what he encountered. All it tells us is he was never the same. Satan is very good at telling you your best days is behind you, but may I remind you, the best days are ahead of you and not behind you. You know what the demonic man found was? Life wasn't found in a pill, in a bottle, in a relationship, in a religion, but it is found, life was found in a man that we call Jesus. We put our faith and trust in him, and that's when life begins.
Amen.
I done went so fast, I got to tell y'all my first 2 points. My wife would kill me. The first one is dedicated to a man. The second one is a deadly encounter because of a man. The third one is Mark chapter 10, driven to see the man. I said a man in the start of the second one because the devil, he ain't nobody. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. And when they came unto Jericho, as they went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Verse 50, and he cast away his garment, rose and came unto Jesus. I want you to realize this right here, verse 51. And when Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want you to see that very quickly, blind Bartimaeus, he decided. In verse 46, every day I'm sure, I'm going to use some of my guys right here in a second. Every day I'm sure he had to have somebody to help him along the way. Come here, Gage. Gage is like 9 foot taller than me. And if he was a blind man, you're going to be a blind man, okay?
Got it.
If you're a blind man, walk over there and try to sit down. Close your eyes as tight as you can. Hang on. Turn around about 3 times. All right, come over here. Come over here. You see what he's doing? I hadn't told him we're doing this or nothing. He don't know. You see what he's doing? He's trying to protect himself so he don't hit anything. And I'm sure every day that blind Bartimaeus got up, he started to reach out. He didn't want to hurt himself. He didn't want to hurt anybody else. You with your eyes closed tight as you can. You in the house. Don't be lying.
I'm not.
Okay? Make your way over there. If you fall down, I get to laugh at you. Keep going. Keep walking straight. Keep walking straight. Keep walking straight. Keep walking straight. All right, stop right there. He was blind, and I want you to see that he had to depend on somebody. I'm sure He didn't just crawl out there every day. I'm sure somebody had to help him along the way. All right, Gage, you're good. You can open your eyes and sit down. I'm sure somebody had to help him, because if he didn't, he would have some knots on his head. He would have some bruises on his arm, maybe a broke arm, maybe a broke rib from falling. But doesn't that sound a lot like our relationship with our Father? So many times he has to guide us and don't go over here, and might want to back up from that. That's going to hurt you. Slide over one. Take two steps back. Slide up a little bit. Why? Because he's trying to protect you from something. I want you to see this, that every time in verse 48 that many charged him, he was by the wayside. Hey, I need some help. Hey, I need some help. Hey, I need some help. They said, man, be quiet. We got bigger fish to fry. And most people would have just been quiet. But he had to be a snipe, Tony. He reared back, hey! Over here! Hey! Why? Because he knew if Jesus couldn't do it, there wasn't nobody that could do it. He got so driven in his decision that no matter what, he had to hear something from Jesus. Why? Because he couldn't see him. Why? Because he knew if Jesus passed by, and our Bible don't tell us this, but as Jesus passed by, if he would have never said anything, Jesus would have kept on walking. Why? Because he hollered out a second time. They told him, be quiet. That don't matter to the master. He hollered out even louder. Amen. Hey, over here, I need some help. Hey, over here, don't leave me over here. I'm blind. I need some help. Amen. Jesus stood still once he heard. The blind man told him his issues. He could have told him anything he wanted. All he wanted was his sight. So many times, you know, in our Christian walk, if we ain't careful, we want to look at other people and say, man, they sure do got it made. Man, I wish I could preach like him. Man, I wish I drove a truck like him. And God's got something for each one of us. Just like this blind man right here, all he wanted was his sight. Our Bible tells us, we go on down in verse 52, and Jesus said, go thy way, thy faith have made thee whole. And immediately he received sight. It doesn't say 10 minutes later, 3 days later. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I just imagine as they had that little crowd going, and I use the Easter play because y'all do so much with it. I just imagine as that crowd come in, he was in the front. He'd move people out of the way. Hey, move out of the way. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Wasn't you that blind man? He said, yeah, I was. But the day Jesus run into me, I was never the same. Amen. What happened? I don't know. There ain't nobody like him. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know what he did. All I know is there ain't nobody like him. Amen. My fourth point, I told you I'd be quick. Luke chapter 8, verse 42. A desperate for an appointed man. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 42, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lie a dying, but as he went for the people, thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood. I'll let you read it for yourself. Verse 45, and when Jesus said, who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him, saying, Master, the multitude thronged thee, press thee and sayest thou, who touched me? And Jesus said, somebody have touched me, for I have perceived the virtue has gone out of me. Verse 47, and when the woman saw that she was hid not, she came trembling and fell down before him. She declared unto him before all people for what she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. Verse 48, and he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Verse 49, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the rulers of the synagogue house, saying, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. I was riding on that lawnmower yesterday, and I'm probably going to get ahead of myself. I was riding on that lawnmower yesterday. Michaela worked me like a dog. I was out there cutting grass. Boy, I had that hustler. I had it stretched out. I got one like Tommy, wherever he is. I got one like him, and boy, I had that thing. It was in high gear yesterday, Tony. I got thinking about that thing, and it was reading it to me. And it says, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." Boy, I like to run out into Flat Rock Road. That ruler didn't realize when Jesus walks on the scene, it don't matter if it's dead or not. So I was like, man, I got to get this thing together. Verse 50, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Jump over to 54. And when he put them out and took her by the hand and calling, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. We see Jairus very early on. I read all that, so I didn't have to go back. Jairus was a ruler of the synagogue. He came from power. He had a little money. But see, it don't matter how much money or power or fame you have. When havoc strikes at your house, you need something only one man could do. He had became desperate. He could have sent anybody he wanted to go get Jesus. But he said, "You know what? I'm going myself. It's personal. I'm not leaving until I get an answer." Amen. But we see in verse 41, just prior to 42, he became so desperate that he said, "Jesus, please come with me. My daughter of 12 years is at the point of death." It tells us in verse 42, he thronged him. I searched the word because I'm old redneck. I don't even know why God called me to preach. But I searched that thing, and it says to be surrounded, swarmed, or pressed. Everyone was trying to stay right there with Jesus. Everyone was trying to see what Jesus was doing. And Jairus just had to do what he can. He said, "I'm getting to Jesus. I'm going to push that. I'm going to push whoever out the way. I'm going to knock whoever down. My need is important." The story we see, the story began to change. Jairus spoke to Jesus in verse 43, and a woman with the issue of blood touched the border of his garment, and immediately her blood was stopped. You search that word up, it stopped, halted, and immediately. She didn't even speak to Jesus. She just touched his clothes, and it's a whole nother message in itself. I believe, I may be wrong, but it was the prayer shawl that she touched. And when she touched it, it stopped. A crowd size that big, Peter asked with the multitude, who touched you with this many people? In that moment, she became so desperate. She had done spent all she had. What else did she have to lose? You know what blows my mind is that we know Jesus can, but yet, just like this lady right here, we try everything else first. She tried all her money. She tried everything she had to offer. You can flip back in Luke and Mark. If she had just gotten to Jesus just a little bit sooner, maybe she would have not had to spend all she had. But when you become desperate, you'll go to what measures you need to. But I believe in verse 47, when she spoke to Jesus and told him she had an issue of blood of 12 years, Jairus was just standing there. When he heard that, boy, his ears perked up a little bit. Why? Because he knew, if God can take care of that in his 12 years, oh, surely, my daughter at the house ain't no problem. Oh, surely. God, Jesus, you just do what you got to do. We'll wait right here on you. You just go right ahead and do your thing. When we seen Jesus moved on her behalf, here come the ruler back. And he said, "Don't bother." Now his thoughts went from, "Jesus, you just take your time," to, "Man, Jesus, if you wouldn't have been here wasting your time with her, we could have gotten to my daughter." I just imagine anger rose up. Another snipes. I just imagine it just rose up out of him. Why? Because he could have saved his daughter. But what that ruler didn't know is Jesus can walk on the scene when something's dead. And in just a second, it'll come back to life. Amen. After verse 55, we see you could go ask Jairus, "Hey, man, I heard your daughter died, but I heard Jesus still come by your way. What happened?" He said, "Man, you ain't going to believe it. When Jesus walked in the room, he said she was just sleeping." He said, "Man, I don't know how to explain it. There ain't nobody like him." Amen. We thought she was dead. He said she was just sleeping. You know what happens in all these stories of the Bible? These people, they become to get, this is the one thing that most Christians struggle with. These people get honest with Jesus. Amen. And they make up their mind, if he doesn't come through, nothing else will work. Jesus sees everything that each one of us go through. You may have me fooled. You may have your preacher fooled. But if it gets as bad as some of these did in the Bible, and you get as desperate as they did, you too can leave here tonight and say there ain't nobody like him. Amen. I just want to throw you some examples really quickly. Amen. Job, probably one of the most spiritual men I've ever seen go through what he did, and he didn't have no idea what was going on. But by the end of it, I'm sure if you'd ask him, he'd say there ain't nobody like him. Amen. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in a fire for not bowing to a golden statue. But it says the fourth was like the Son of God. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. I often think about the Samaritan woman. When she was just living any old way, the person she was with wasn't her husband. But she was never the same when she encountered Jesus. Why? There ain't nobody like him. Mary Magdalene, if you're a Bible student, she was possessed with seven demons. But what if we was in that time and could ask her, what was it like around Jesus? I'm sure the reply was, he changed my life. He was the first person I seen after his resurrection. There ain't nobody like him. The lame man in Acts 3, he went there daily just wanting somebody to help him. Peter and John said, in Jesus' name. And the man leaped. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. David and Goliath, because of some of past experiences David had leading sheep, when he stepped out in front of that giant, he knew that Jesus was going to take care. Because there ain't nobody like him. Paul and Silas was locked up in prison. But the moment they started to pray and sing songs unto Zion, the walls began to tremble. And they fell down and they was free. Why? There ain't nobody like him. Daniel was thrown in the lion's den because he wouldn't quit praying and praising his God. And they said, if you don't stop, we're going to throw you in the lion's den. They threw him in there. And I'm sure as they walked off, they said, he'll be catnip in just a little bit. But when they come back the next morning, I imagine he was laying in there on one of them. When they asked him what happened, he said, I don't know. Something must have kept them at bay all night long. They didn't bother me. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. Stephen is the only person I know in the Bible that Jesus stood at the right hand of the Father. When they was getting ready to stone him, and as they was throwing those stones at him, when he closed his eyes here and opened his eyes there, I'm sure if you could travel back in time and ask him, he'd tell you there ain't nobody like him. You may sit in here tonight and you say, well, I ain't got palsy. And yeah, the story is about palsy, but it's a bigger picture. We have to tear things out of the way. Spiritually, we need to get some things out of the way so we can get filled back up in our heart with what Jesus has. Or maybe you say, I ain't living in tombs or I ain't possessed. And I hope you know, for that guy, it didn't start out that way. Maybe it started out as being prideful, or maybe it started out as telling a little lie, or maybe a little pornography, or maybe a little drinking, or maybe a little smoking, whatever you want to put there, and it started to snowball, and now Satan has such a chokehold on you. It's time to get free. It's time to stop playing games. It's time to be honest. Or maybe you're like Bartimaeus and Jairus. You become so desperate because of a situation. You need God to send you a reminder. What blows my mind is so many people say, I'm waiting on God to move. I've been doing this a long time. I'm 27 years old, and I come to church 9 months before I was born. 90% of the time, God ain't waiting on you. So many times, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. So many times, we want to say, well, God, if you'll do this, I'll do that. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that. Maybe it's God waiting on you. You ain't waiting on God. And maybe tonight, none of those apply to you. And maybe tonight, we should have a heart of gratitude and remember what God saved me from. Amen. God loved me when no one else did. God helped me when no one else could. I mean, no one knew the shame and the guilt that you felt. But when Jesus walked on the scene, you was forever free. Jesus can do for you what nobody else can. He loved me when no one else loved me. He forgave me when no one else forgave me. He covered me in his righteousness. And he sure has been good to me. I want to tell you this little story, and I'm wrapping it up. I heard this story one time. It was a pastor in North Carolina, and this lady had been coming to their church, and her husband was an ex-Hells Angels. She told her, she come up to the pastor and said, "I want you to pray for my husband. Jesus is going to save him." Preacher was kind of like, you know, he knew her husband. He's like, I'll pray for him. We'll leave it up to God. A couple months go by. I was getting ready to start church, and the youth pastor was on stage, and the senior pastor was getting ready to preach, and when they looked coming through the back doors, there was that guy. He done slipped in. He come for 3 or 4 Sundays, but right when they went to give altar call, he slipped out the back door. That preacher, he knew that God was dealing with that man. He called him up. They had a business meeting that morning. He called him up. He said, "Hey, I want you to be at my office, 5:30. Didn't even let the man say nothing, hung the phone up. That youth pastor said, "Are you crazy? You just hung up on the ex-Hells Angels." That youth pastor was thinking in his mind, "Well, looks like I'm fixing to get a promotion because he about to kill this joker." And the guy walks in, and as soon as he walks in, his name was Tommy. Guy walked in, you could tell God was just trying to do a work in his life. And when he walked in, Tommy said, "Sir, I don't mean no disrespect, but why'd you call me here?" He said, "Tommy, I know you've been to Vietnam. I know you're ex-Hells Angels. I know all that." He cut him off right there. Tommy said, "You don't know what I've done. I've done went too far. I've done things that's unimaginable." That preacher looked up and said, "Tommy, I too been to Vietnam." He said, "I too been through some of the things you've been through." Tommy still denied it and said, "Preacher, if you can prove to me that there are more people wicked than I am, I'll kneel down right here and ask Jesus to save me." That preacher, a boldness rose up in him. He said, "Let me tell you about a man named David who took another man's wife, had a baby with her, had the husband killed in battle, and God still done something with him. Let me tell you about Jonah who ran from God. He told him to preach, was swallowed by a big fish, but after he was spit out, he surrendered to God. He was given a new lease on life, and God used him greatly. Let me tell you about a man named Peter who walked with Jesus but cursed him 3 times and denied him, only to find out 53 days later to preach on the day of Pentecost as thousands marched to the family of God. What happened?" Tommy asked. The preacher said, "He just asked for forgiveness, and God used him." He said, "Let me introduce you to a man named Saul of Tarsus who killed Christians and destroyed churches." He said, "Tommy, I know you said you've been out there and you've murdered people and you didn't mean to and you've done things you didn't mean to." He said, "When God blinded him and his life was forever changed." Tommy said, "Preacher, I ain't never heard of him." Preacher leaned his chair back. He knew Tommy was soaking it in. And he said, "Tommy, that's because after that day, God changed his name to Paul. He was a murderer and God forgave him." Amen. Tommy, with tears in his eyes, he had done realized he really wasn't that bad off. He looked up at that preacher and he said, "You think God would save me?" He kneeled down right there in his office, called on Jesus. True story. He went down as a Hell's Angel and came up a child of God. What happened? He found out that day, ain't nobody like him.
Amen.
It would do us good to take a trip down memory lane. And there's a generation that's coming up even behind me that is hungry for something. And if we're not a beacon and we're not a light and we don't let them know, I know most people in this crowd, and I can look back when there was a time when you were sick, when you needed a touch, when you needed God to move. And I saw God move on your behalf. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. I can testify that he saved my soul, can you? I can testify that the doctor doesn't have the final say. I can testify that I don't have to go to hell. I can testify that he can take all the junk and make something out of it. I can testify that he can heal my body.
Amen.
I can testify that he loves you when no one else can. We cannot afford to get over what God has done for us. I am so sick of the devil robbing us and keeping us shut up and confined. The devil knows you by your name, but calls you by your sin. My Jesus knows me by my sin, but calls me by my name. I want to leave here tonight with a little ammunition and just a few little things. I'm favored. I'm a saint. I'm blessed. I'm adopted. I'm redeemed. I'm saved. I'm heaven bound with the hammer down. Why? Because there ain't nobody like him. And somewhere in that, you can apply it to your life. Miss Joe, will you help me, please? Somewhere in it, you can apply in your life. You may not be a blind man, but you need something from God. You may not be that demonic man, but if you ain't careful, something's going to take you out. I want to leave here tonight knowing that we can say there ain't nobody like him. I want you to bow your heads with me. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you.